Yes, I know it's Labor Day. It's a national holiday, but I don't take holidays off. I work every day as Martin Zenner's Labor Day, and I'm supposed to labor, and I do labor. I don't take any days off, seriously. I don't even understand the concept. I'm dead serious. This is what I do, and I love to do it, and I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for our Lord, really. I'm working as unto the Lord. I have no idea how many people are listening to this show. I'm almost afraid to look. Back in the day, back in 2005, 2006, when I was doing Zender Talk, there were between 500 and 800 people listening on any given day. I did the show 5 days a week back then. So, I don't know. There may be 800 of you listening today. There might be 300. There might be 1,000. I don't know. And I'm not going to check. King David once set out to assess his kingdom, and God didn't think too kindly of it. So I'm not going to assess my kingdom here. I'm working as unto the Lord. If there was one person listening, I would give you my all. I would not change a thing that I do. I'm passionate about this. I have to do this. Woe to me if I don't do it. So I don't understand the concept of retirement. People retire from a career. This isn't a career. This is not a job. This is a life. It's a passion. I have to do this. And so, you know, I don't even know what day it is because every day's a work day. I know I'm supposed to take one day off, but I don't. So I'm proofreading The Lie of Every Man's Battle. I told you I finished that book like a month ago. I finally got it printed. I have the first bound copy in my hands yesterday. It was been sitting on my desk for 2 weeks, but I had it bound at Staples. So that was exciting. The first copy in existence, and I hope there's going to be thousands of them someday, because this book's going to save marriages. It's going to help men understand their sex drives. It's going to help women understand the sex drives of their men, and it's going to give men justification for their natural inclinations. And so I'm starting to read this book in print. I've read it on the screen for 3 years. It took me 3 years to write this thing, and now I have it in print. And I'm reading every word carefully, making a few corrections, but it's going really well. I like it. There's not too many corrections need to be made, so that's happy thing. And now I'm going to print up about 20 copies, send it to some early readers. I have some people who are going to read it critically. And I said, this is what I say to my readers. I send them the manuscript, and I say, look, I want your honest opinion about this as long as you love it. That's what I said. That's what I say to him. I want your honest opinion as long as you love it. So, I will say the same thing to you when you order this book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. I'm going to tell you more about it as the publication gets close. It's a total lie that men are in a battle for their eyes to be sexually pure. It's a perversion of the scriptures. And I show you how 76,000 words it takes me to explain to you why the churches and Christianity has perverted the scriptures to feminize men, and it eventually breaks up marriages. It really does. There's so much misunderstanding between the sexes, especially in marriages, that where it matters. And don't get me started. Don't get me started. So we're talking about the eons. And we looked at the tabernacle system, and I told you today we're going to look at the temple proper. There are five sections of the temple area, and there are five eons. One is a highway of space, the temple system. One is a highway of time, the eons. And God gives us a Sunday school picture. Isn't that great? You know, we can't really understand. The eons sometimes seems obscure to people, abstract. Well, here's a concrete, physical thing. Like a picture book that we can see the progression. You get closer to God in the temple. You're outside the camp, then you're in the camp. Then you're standing next to the altar. Then as you move closer, you get to the laver. Then you enter the temple proper, which contains two rooms, the holy place and the holy of holies. See, the closer you get to God, the fewer people are there. You got crowds outside the camp. You only have Israelites inside the camp. Then you get to the court, and you have the priests and men. I don't think the women were allowed in the court. There's a court of the women that was a different category there. Sorry, ladies. I don't know why. I don't understand it. It wasn't my fault. I would let you in anywhere. If I was running the temple, you'd be in the Holy of Holies. Sorry. It was not my plan. You'd be wandering everywhere. So then the priests in the holy place, and the high priest, holy of holies. Closer you get to God, fewer people there are. So we have the holy place, which contains the showbread, the altar of incense, and the candlestick, seven-branched candlestick. All this represents what Israel will be providing the earth during the 1,000-year kingdom. So these two rooms in the temple proper represent the two coming eons. Now, we're going to show you the relationship between these holy places and other holy places, and the relationship between the two coming eons and the other eons. There's a verse in Galatians 1:5, "To God be the glory for the eons of the eons." Of course, the King James Version and the NIV, the New Incoherent Version, they say forever and ever. Look at this. There are three specific Greek phrases in the Greek scriptures that are just ignored, eradicated, decimated by the common versions. Specific phrases. There's the one I just mentioned, the eons of the eons, speaking about the two last eons, which are going to be the glorious eons. And then there's the eon of the eons. It's the single followed by the plural, eon of the eons. And then there's the eon of the eon. In Hebrews 1:8. Now listen to this. This is fabulous precision. I'm going to explain how important this is shortly. So you have the eons of the eons, comparing two eons to all the eons. Galatians 1:5. The eon of the eons, relating the last eon to all the other eons. That's in Ephesians 3:21. Then you have the eon of the eon, Hebrews 1:8. It's speaking of the last eon only in comparison to the eon that went before it, namely the kingdom eon. Now, three different phrases, right? You know what the King James and the NIV do to these? They translate it forever and ever, every time. Can you believe it? They not only change the word eon, ion, to ever, which is stupid, but they ignore the genitive case of the, and they use the and, the connective, as if it was kai, K-I-A-I. That's the Greek connective. It answers to our and. That word's not there. It doesn't matter to them. They add it. They ignore it. Forever and ever, Galatians 1:5. Forever and ever, Ephesians 3:21. Forever and ever, Hebrews 1:8. They totally obliterate the distinctions. Now, here's why this is cool. In the tabernacle system, and this is the book of Hebrews, and we're purportedly studying the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 9:25, you have this phrase, the holies of the holies. Hebrews 9:25. Oh, you want me to look at the context? All right, let me turn there real quick. What did I say that was? All right, Hebrews 9:25. Where is that? Where's Hebrews? Because see, I'm supposed to be in Hebrews, but it's right before James. I'm supposed to be in Hebrews, I know. But I got sidetracked here on the eons, but what a great sidetrack. I think it is. I'll speak for myself. Hebrews 9:25. It talks about that he may be offering himself off. I think this is the verse that got me on the eons, even as the chief priest is entering into the holies of holies year by year by the blood of others, entering into the holies of holies. What are the holies of holies? Well, all this was holy place. The camp, the altar, the court, the sanctuary, the holy place, and the holy of holies. They're all holies, but there are the holies of the holies. That's these two special rooms, the holy place and the holy of the holies. They're the holies of the holies. They're relating them to other holy places. This is why the forever and ever makes no sense. And when you point out to some people that this it has to do with eons, they'll say, well, it's just eons tumbling upon eons, eons and eons and eons. It's not. For instance, Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the greatest Lord of other Lords. He's the greatest King of other Kings. There's a bunch of kings. King Herod is a king. King Louis of the Jungle Book. Remember him? Now I am the King of the Swingers, oh, the Jungle VIP. I reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's been bothering me. Louis Prima played, King Louis. That he was a king. Now, Jesus Christ is also a king. You have King Louis, who's an orangutan, and you have Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. It's not an endless succession of kings. It's one king out of all the other ones. Likewise, the holies of the holies were these two holy places. Now, there's also the holy of the holies. You find that phrase in Hebrews 9:3. That's the holy of the holies. In other words, we're just talking about that one place that where the Ark of the Covenant is. That's the holy of all the holies. Holies of the holies is two holy places, plural, holies of the holies. Now you have the phrase eons of the eons. Now you can figure out what that means. And then you only find this distinction in a well-translated Bible, namely the Concordant Version. You'll see the eons of the eons. What is that speaking of? Take a guess. Eons of the eons. It's speaking of the last two eons. So when you read the phrase eons of the eons, you're reading about, oh, I know what he's talking about. He's talking about eon 4 and 5 as compared to eons 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And when you read the phrase the eon of the eons, what are we talking about there? Ephesians 3:21. Let's go to that context. Because we just went to Galatians 1:5, Ephesians 3:21. Now to him be glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eon of the eons. What do you read in the NIV? Forever and ever. King James? Forever and ever. Even King Louis thinks that's stupid. So yo, the man cub. Crazy. All right, so he knows it's stupid, and it is. But when you translate it correctly, using the word ion, pluralizing the word that's supposed to be plural, using the genitive case, you have this wonderful phrase, to God be the glory in the ecclesia and in Christ Jesus for all the generations of the eon of the eon. Just talking about that last eon, the fifth eon, the longest. Well, I don't know if it's the longest, but it's longer than 1,000 years. And then we find out, back to Galatians 1:5, to God be glory for the eons of the eons. That tells us that God is not going to get glory until the last two eons. And the last two eons correspond in time to the two holy places in space, the holies of the holies. Isn't that great? What a parallel. There's five and there's five. There's two great ones and there's two great ones. The two great holy places were the holy place and the holy of holies, and the two great eons are eon 4, the 1,000-year kingdom, and eon 5, the new heavens and the new earth. All right, I have not exhausted this. There's much more to say about this, but I think I've given you enough to whet your appetite. If you go to my old Zender Talks, I have a show, the shows 51 through 130, I think it is. I have an album there called Fun with Eons. If you want to know more about it, go to Zender Talk on my homepage and go to shows 51 through 130 or something like that. I don't know. I think that's right. And you'll see a little album. You'll see an album there of five days of shows called Fun with Eons. And I also have an article on the eons somewhere on my website. Keep looking, you'll find it. This has been Martin Zender, working for you 7 days a week, and naturally, I'll be back here tomorrow.